All right. We want to welcome everybody this morning and everyone that's watching online today. We want to welcome them to Waldo Baptist Church to our morning Bible study. It's good to be with you today. Good to have the people that are watching at home online today. We want to welcome them as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you for the Lord's Day and the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you, Lord, for this special day. And Lord, we pray that you'd open our minds and hearts to your word as we study it together. Lord, that we might not only hear it and know it, but we might apply it in our own lives. Father, we thank you for Jesus and the life we have in him. We thank you for this precious gift that's called us out of darkness into light, that has changed our life forever by the grace of God. We pray, Lord, not only for our Sunday school Bible study time, but also for the service to follow, for the Holy Spirit to work through the speaker, and, Lord, to use him in a mighty way. We thank you for each one that's here today in the auditorium and those that are watching online. We lift up our sick and hurting and injured, those that's had surgery and those that's getting ready to have surgery, that you might do a healing work in each and every one. Lord, that you might raise them up to strength and health. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, open to the book of Zechariah, 13th chapter. 13th chapter of the book of Zechariah. We're about to get through this great book as we've studied through it, as we've gone over through the, has taken us from the past to the present into the future as we have gone through the book of Zechariah. And it's been one of the better studies that I've done, as for myself anyway. I've enjoyed it a lot. And so when we come to in the last chapter, the 12th chapter, we saw the beginning of the steps for the salvation spiritually of the nation of Israel, the remnant that will be left. We have seen, we have gone back in the scriptures, we've seen all the nations gathered together by the Antichrist surrounding Israel and Jerusalem and making war on the Israelites that are there. And as we will be studying through the 13th chapter, you're going to see that it is going to be a horrific time in the nation of Israel during the last days of the tribulation period, during this last 3.5 year period, especially so as the tribulation period is coming to an end and the Antichrist has gathered the nations of the world against Israel. And as it looks in Scripture, about 2/3 of the population of Israel will die during this period of time. And a remnant will be left, which is about 1/3 of the population of Israel will be left when all is said and done, as Christ comes back. We looked at the 12th chapter of Revelation, and that was speaking of the first steps towards their spiritual salvation, not even including their physical salvation, not only their rescue from the nations around them, but this remnant that's left will all be saved. And that's what it was talking about in the 12th chapter. I'll go back there to the 16th verse for just a moment. And I will, and that's, there's two key phrases in chapter 12 and 13 that we mentioned. God says, I will, and that's one of the key phrases, and the other is, on that day. On that day, meaning the day of the Lord, the time of the return of Christ to earth. And so those are two key phrases that we see through the rest of these chapters in the book of Zechariah. I will, and on that day, speaking of the day of the Lord. In verse 19 of the 12th chapter, he says, And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieves bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn. So there will be, as they see Christ coming and recognize who he is, there will be a great time of mourning and repentance that will come on the remnant that is left in Israel, because they will recognize him as the one that they have crucified, the one they have rejected as a Messiah. And so that's the beginning of not only their physical rescue, but their spiritual salvation and rescue as well in the 12th chapter. Now we come to the 13th chapter, and there's that phrase again, on that day, meaning the day of the Lord, the day of his return. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. So we see that this is following up on what he's already said in chapter 12 concerning their spiritual salvation. He's saying a fountain will be open to the house of David, that's Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So he's saying on that day, and you know that fountain was literally open through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a fountain of salvation that was open through his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, as it's talking about here, that fountain is going to especially be open to the remnant that's left in the house of Judah and Jerusalem on that day. And so this is what it's speaking of. I can give you 5 points here that it's what we're talking about here is the, notice what it says in that first verse, to cleanse them from sin and impurity. So it is a cleansing that we're talking about in the 13th chapter. There's a cleansing that will take place, and I have 5 points here that we'll see in the 13th chapter of Zechariah. Number one, there'll be a cleansing from the defilement of sin. There'll be a cleansing from the defilement of sin. Number two, there'll be a cleansing from the deception of the false prophets, a cleansing from the deception of false prophets. Number three, there'll be a cleansing by the death of the shepherd, a cleansing by the death of the shepherd. And that's for all them and us and everybody that's ever been saved. We are cleansed because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the death of the shepherd it's talking about. And number four, there will be a cleansing from the dispersion of the sheep, a cleansing from the dispersion of the sheep. Remember, Israel in 70 A.D., all of Israel was Jerusalem was destroyed, and all of Israel was scattered all over the face of the earth. They didn't even exist as a nation anymore. On 70 A.D., when the Romans invaded Israel, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city itself. I think I told you that 150,000 were thrown over the walls of the city just daily. They were so many daily that were thrown over the walls and killed just for fun that the Romans did. And that's not nearly as many as was killed in the gas chambers in Germany during World War II. I think Brigida, who's usually in our class, who is from Germany, said there were 6 million Jews killed in the gas chambers in, what was the name of that place? Yeah, that's where the gas chambers were. 6 million Jews were killed. Well, in studying this, that's only a fraction of what's going to be killed during this invasion by the Antichrist and the nations, armies of the nations gathered around Israel at this time. This is the War of Armageddon we're talking about. And there will be many more than 6 million, two-thirds of the whole population of Israel. And so that's what we see here. But he's talking about here the cleansing that will come. First of all, from the defilement of sin. Oh, did I give you number 5? I didn't get to it, did I? Well, that tells me something. Can't remember what I'm doing. All right. Number 5 is cleansed from the devastation of slaughter. Cleansed from the devastation of slaughter. And that slaughter is speaking of that battle of Armageddon that will take place there at that time. Okay? And that's the 5 different points that we'll see as we go through this book and this specific chapter 13 in the book of Zechariah. Now then, I'm going to take you back to a chapter and verse and show you how all this was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 5. I've tried to go through the other prophets and bring them in with you on it as well. In Isaiah chapter 5, we have a metaphor or a parable given, and it is the Lord speaking of Israel as his vineyard. He's using a vineyard to represent the nation of Israel. And so that's what we see when we look at chapter 5 of Isaiah. I'll give you time to get there. And then we'll read that together, and you'll be able to see the picture that is drawn there of the why God brought the judgment that he did upon Israel and the prophecy concerning that. And he says in chapter 5, verse 1, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. Of course, that's Israel, about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes. Okay, so he's talking about this nation that he raised up, that he built, that he cleared out. He's using the metaphor of a vineyard, and he's saying how he cared for it, how he cared for it. He cleared it. In that part of the country, if you're going to break ground, you got to move all the rocks first. And they usually took those rocks and put them up as a fence around the field or whatever. And so that's what he's talking about here. I cleared it of stones. I planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes. He looked for Israel to fulfill what he had brought them to Israel for. And that's where they fail. And that's what he begins to talk about now. He says, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? God says, what more could I have done for Israel than I have done for it? I have called them out of the Ur of the Chaldees with Abram. I made them a nation. I brought them to the wilderness, to the promised land. I have blessed them. I have raised them up. I've made them a great nation. I have given them everything they needed. And what more could I have done for them? I have sent them the prophets, and they killed them. And then I have sent my son, and they killed him. And so this is what he's talking about here. And he says, when I looked for good grapes, what did it yield? Only bad. Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. He says, I'm telling you what I'm going to do with Israel. Okay, that's what he's saying. I'm telling you what I'm going to do with Israel. Well, he says, I will take away its hedge. Well, the hedge is protection. He said, I'm going to remove the hedge of protection from it. He says, and it will be destroyed. And it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. And briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. So you see here, we're talking about the same thing in Isaiah. And all the prophets agree, as you come together on this, exactly that God is going to severely punish. And we said 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ in 70 AD is when the Romans attacked Israel and Judah and Jerusalem and completely destroyed it, and it was wiped off the face of the earth. God said, I'm taking the hedge of protection down. I will allow it to be completely destroyed. In other words, he says, right here, it's going to be a wasteland. And I'm going to pull my hand back, and I'm going to let that happen. You know, he could do the same thing to America, don't you? Okay, now let's go back to Zechariah. Okay. Okay, so what he says, first of all, I will cleanse them from sin and impurity. I will cleanse them from sin and impurity. And that's what he's talking about there. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about their sin was a sin of unbelief. That was their great sin, the sin of unbelief. And that's why they rejected the Messiah, his own son, when he came. And let me go back and let me look something up here, and I think. Okay, in Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Well, what happened then when Israel failed to produce the fruit that God wanted it to bear? When Israel failed to not only accept the Messiah and not only accept the Messiah, but to be saved through him, believe in him, and to be the instrument through which God would bring the gospel to the world. That was the fruit that God was looking for. Good grapes. But he saw only bad fruit. Well, then when you come to a chapter 11 and verse 11 of Romans, it says, again I ask, did they, speaking of Israel, stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. In other words, he said, I'm not finished with them. I'm not finished with them. In other words, what you understand as you study through Zechariah and you study Scripture is God has always had a plan for Israel, and even though they failed, he will not fail in his plan. That's the thing you've got to understand about God, is that even though Israel failed, well, what you're going to see is what happened when they failed. But he says, but they haven't failed beyond recovery. I've still got a plan for Israel. And that's what we're reading about in Zechariah 13, the salvation of the remnant and the promise being fulfilled of God. Okay? But here we have the Gentiles being grafted in to take the place of the Jew, of Israel. And it says, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, their unbelief, Salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? So what he is saying here is the olive tree represented Israel. Well, what he's talking about grafted in, he has taken Israel, which failed in their mission, first to accept Jesus as a Messiah, and then to be the instrument through the gospel being brought to the world. He has taken that tree, the olive tree, Israel, and he has grafted in the Gentiles. He has grafted in the Gentiles into the olive tree to grow out of that to make a branch that will fulfill his plan to bring the gospel to the world. That's why he said, how much richer will the world be? And that's where we are today. The church, the Gentiles, the church was grafted in where Israel had failed. And that's what we see here in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, in the scripture that we see here. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Has anybody got a question about that? Do you understand what's the scripture saying here? See, the church today has taken the place of Israel in that day. Does that mean God is through with Israel? No. That's why he said here, they haven't stumbled beyond recovery. So the promise that God has made to Israel is going to be fulfilled in what we're reading in Zechariah 13. They haven't stumbled beyond recovery. Okay? There'll only be a third of them that will be recovered, that will be saved, but they haven't stumbled beyond recovery. Remember, God has always had a remnant. So that's what we see when we look at the scripture here. All right, I'm going back to Zechariah chapter 13. Let me try to keep up with my notes too, or I'll miss something. Over and over again. Okay. I will cleanse them of their sin and impurity. All right, now, that's the first verse as far as we've got so far. So I'm going to Ezekiel 36. Go back to Ezekiel. You'll go past the minor prophets, and then you'll come to Daniel, and then Ezekiel. And we're going to Ezekiel 36. And verse 25. Let's start in 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Give you a few minutes to get there. At 9:45, I've got to quit because we're going to go into Trad's office and have prayer with the pastor that's going to be preaching today. Okay?
15 minutes.
Got that, John? Okay. He says in verse 24 of Ezekiel 36, "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land." Well, we see that happening. We've seen that happening in our lifetime, right? We've seen that happening. And it's going to keep happening. And God is going to finally bring them all back. And he says in verse 25, "And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So when we talk about the cleansing, this is what we're talking about, their salvation. And he talks about it here in Ezekiel chapter 36 as well. And this is the remnant that will be left, that will be saved, that will be born again, and will be cleansed from their sin of unbelief. And their impurities has always been not only their unbelief, he talks about their impurities, which leads talking about sins of the flesh, sexual sins and different sins of the flesh that they have been involved in. And also it talks about their worship of idols, which they went into captivity, and when they came out, they didn't worship idols anymore. But they will return to that. We talked about that in the previous chapters when we were looking at Zechariah, that under the Antichrist, Israel will make a treaty with the Antichrist that will bring peace to Israel for 3.5 years. In that time, idol worship will become more prevalent in Israel than it's ever been. Because on one hand, they rejected the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. On the other hand, they will receive the Antichrist and the false prophet, which will lead them into total idolatry in the tribulation period. And so when he talks about sin, he's talking about our sin of unbelief. And then when he talks about their impurities, he's talking about their idol worship. And see, you got to understand, their leadership was so rotten, defiled, and sinful that they would go into the temple and have orgies with the priestesses in the temple in Israel. And don't be surprised if it doesn't return to that. So this is what, when God says bad fruit, he's talking about a lot of stuff. He's talking about not only did they reject the Messiah and kill him, but look what how they have turned away from godliness into filthiness. And that's what he talked about in the other first chapters of Zechariah when he had showed the priest and he said, I'll cleanse him of all his filthiness. And this is what he's talking about here. When you look at this, all right, now I'm going back to Zechariah, okay? And so that's the first verse. We've made the first verse, okay? And he says in verse 2, on that day, on the day of the Lord, I will banish the names of the idols from the land. See, they'll be really involved in idol worship once again. I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. All right. Now, what's he talking about here? Israel has been guilty of two things that were just detestable in God's sight. The prophets that God sent, they killed. The false prophets, they followed. And then God finally said, they wouldn't believe the prophets, I'll send my own son. And he sent his son, and what did they do? They killed him and followed the false prophets. And so when he's talking about here, he said, I will cleanse them. On that day I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. He says, I'm going to remove every false prophet from the land. In other words, they're going to die. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to all be dead. I will remove every false prophet. That's what he's talking about here. And the spirit of impurity from the land. And notice this in verse 3. And if anyone still prophesies, speaking of a false prophet, okay, and if anyone still prophesies, his father and mother to whom he was born will say to him, you must die. In other words, it is going to be such a horrendous thing for someone. And when we talk about false prophets, let's realize, folks, we have them today. All over America and all around the world, we have people that do not preach the word as it is to people as they are. That's a false prophet. That's one that lies. That takes the word of God and bends it to say whatever they want it to say instead of what God says. And that's not going to happen anymore. He says it's going to be so critical that if a mother or father sees their son do it, they're going to kill him. You must die. That's what's going to happen when Christ takes over. If anyone dares to make false prophecy, to speak against Christ, to speak against the truth of the gospel, that's what he's talking about here. It's going to happen. And that's what he says in verse 3. And if anyone still prophesies, his father and mother to whom he was born will say to him, you must die because you have told lies in the Lord's name. And when he prophesies, look at this, his own parents will stab him to death. His own parents will kill him. It's going to be such a horrendous act. What are we talking about? We're talking about during the millennium reign of Christ. That if you had a son or a daughter that spoke against Christ, the parents would kill him themselves. That's what he's saying here. That's what you got to understand. Okay? And he goes on to talk about this. This is how it's going to be and how serious he sees it. On verse 4, on that day every prophet will be ashamed of his prophetic vision, and he will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Well, see, what's he talking about? Well, in Old Testament and New Testament times, what did you see a prophet wear? Well, look at John the Baptist in the wilderness. They wore what's called, sometimes it's called a rough garment. It was camel's hair. The clothing they had on was made out of camel's hair. And it didn't have hair on the inside, but it had hair on the outside. And that's what they wore to, it would be, if you were a Catholic, you would wear what I call a collar with a slit in it. In other words, they put on godly garments, but they were full of lies on the inside. They were false. They dressed like a prophet, but they were absolutely false. All right, we've got to stop there because I need to get back with them. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you. It is an amazing thing, the Word of God, and what we learn from it, not only past and present, but also of what will take place in the future when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth. Father, help us to grasp the severity of a rejection of the true shepherd, the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the worship time to follow and the speaker to follow, and watch over and bless the service and pour out your spirit upon us. Bind Satan and every principality of darkness, and may your perfect will be done. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.